What up, Canes fans? Before we get started, just wanted to talk to you guys about the Tank Brewery real quick. The Tank is located in the heart of Miami in Dade County at 5100 Northwest 72nd Avenue. This place is awesome. I've been there. The beer is outstanding. The food is great. Whether you're watching the Canes game, the Heat game there with your buddies, you're having a guys' night out, or you're having a date night with the missus, it's a great place to hang out. So you can order online at thetankbrewingtakeout.com or call them at 786-801-1554 for delivery or pickup. And here's the thing. If you use the promo code TANK4SUP, you will get free delivery on game days. And so that is TANK4SUP, the number four. Not spell it out, but TANK4SUP. So go check out our friends at the Tank Brewing. They've been great to us. So take it away, Jordan.
All right. Also, we want you guys to check out our guy, Stickers by AB. That's at STICKERZ by AB. You know, I've been ordering a bunch of stuff from him. You know, we have a collaboration sticker that has our logo on it. So make sure you're checking him out. Give him a follow on Twitter. He's just a good dude, and he's helping us design our merch. So yeah, man, it's make sure you're supporting the good people that help us out here on Fours Up.
You're listening to the Fours Up podcast with your host Marsh.
What up, what up, what up, Canes fans? It has been a while, but we are back. It is the Fours Up podcast. It is Tuesday, December 22nd. Ho, 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 bitches. as always, I'm joined by my wonderful producer and co-host, Jordan Nelson. Jordan, it's been a minute. How are we? How are you feeling? How's the fam? How's everything going?
Everything is good. I'm still recovering from the UNC.
What would you call it? That wasn't a loss. That was like...
That was a demoralizing defeat that offended not just the University of Miami. It offended my family. It offended myself. It offended everybody that ever put on the orange and green and ever rooted for them.
We were brutalized. We should be able to like file charges with the police about what happened.
And I know that people are kind of starting to get over this loss, but we haven't recorded since. And good Lord, just being in that stadium for that game. I went with our boys, AB. I went with Brad. I saw Derek Coe there. I saw the Borregales family. It was fun being back in Hard Rock Stadium up until kickoff.
Yeah.
It was so bad. Because that was my first game going to since, like, COVID and everything like that. It felt like a funeral service in there. There was no energy. I remember, me, Coe, Brad, and AB were, like, in the end zone when they came out of the smoke. And I swear to God, we were the only ones standing, and Manny was like yelling at everyone to get up. At that point, I kind of felt like there was just something wrong. Even before that, I kind of had a bad – I know I predicted us to win and win by like two touchdowns, but still in the back of my mind, I'm like, you know what? UNC has this dynamic offense and passing game, but it wasn't the passing game that tore us to shreds. 557 yards of rushing did that.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I legitimately, I kid you not, I turned the game off at halftime and I didn't turn it on again.
I left at halftime, so it's all good. Yeah. It was so demoralizing that it took all of my views of Manny and this team to what we had accomplished up until then, and it shattered it.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think I said either on our previous episode or two episodes ago that I had 100% confidence in Manny. And that was severely rattled. Like, I'm not ready to fire him. But, I mean, I guess 0 to 100%, I don't know at what point you fire a guy. Let's say it's at 0, you fire him, right?
Yeah.
I went from 100 2 weeks ago to probably 30%.
Really?
Yeah. And it's like there's a scenario where if certain things happen next year, I'm just done and I'm ready to move on.
So here's the thing. If he doesn't get rid of Blake Baker, my confidence in Manny goes down like so drastically. After that kind of performance, if you don't fire your defensive coordinator, then I don't know what.
Yeah.
You can't allow the most yards of offense and points in a home game in the history of the University of Miami program and not fire your defensive coordinator.
Agreed.
That was so pathetic.
Yeah. And
so humiliating. I mean, and you know what's funny is because the night that we recorded with Wholesome and we were previewing the UNC game, you know, we talked about Bob Bolden's comments on Instagram and everybody being so hyped for next season in Alabama. And I was saying that nobody seems to be hyped for the biggest home game that we've had since Notre Dame 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And the worst thing that could have possibly happened.
Yeah, man. I mean, I didn't predict that we'd get blown out on social media, but I could smell it coming. I mean, I didn't want to play the game. I couldn't predict a win. I didn't predict a loss, but I refused to predict the Hurricanes winning that game. And it had all the makings of what happened. Like, it just... I don't know, man. You know, like Duke.
Who was that at?
The Duke game, like, made me want to believe that it would be different this time, and it didn't end up being different. So I guess let's put this loss in perspective, though. You know, because I don't want to come across as just being negative, right? Because we are 8-2.
We have a lot of positives to talk about on this show.
We do. We do. So the positive with this season to me is that we won 4 or 5 games that usually we don't win. Like, if this was a Miami Hurricanes team from years past, and I mean the last 15 years, you know, from recent history, then we lose Pitt, we lose Virginia Tech, we lose NC State, and we might even lose Virginia. Don't you think? Like,
oh, 100%. I mean,
those games.
Who's to say that we don't Louisville?
Yeah.
There's so many games that we could have lost. I mean, even the Pitt game when De'Aaron King throws those 2 interceptions, and especially the UAV game and the NC State game. We are very lucky that that came out as a W. But no, 100%. The best thing that happened this year is that we won those games.
Yeah, because, I mean, years past, we lose those games. Let's say we lose 4 of the 5 that we named. That makes us 4-6, man. And then Manny gets fired. A whole bunch of stuff happens. So that is good, right? Some of the negatives, unfortunately, I mean, am I wrong in feeling like the negatives kind of outweigh the positives from this year? Is that a little pessimistic? It might be.
Perhaps, because at the end of the day, we're still 8-2. We still signed a very, very good recruiting class. Here's one of the best things that happened is that nobody decommitted after that game.
Yeah. Yes. And Manny is lucky. He's very lucky that nobody decommitted. Because, like, I want you to be 100% straight up honest with me. Okay, we played 10 games, okay? We only played 3 games against teams that were more than 1 game above 500. And that means better than 6-5, okay?
Yeah.
And this is conference games, right? We lost 2 of those. The win was NC State and their backup quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, do you think that we're a good team if that's our record? That we beat a bunch of 500 and under teams, and then we beat NC State's backup QB, and then we get trounced by the only 2 good teams that we play all year?
I think 8-2 is 8-2, but if you look deeper into it, but at this point, I mean, I will take 8-2 every day of the week. Now, if we can finish it up with a bowl win against the Mike Gundy mullet wearing Cowboys of Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
be very happy. I want to ask your opinion on that because you called it. We're going to the damn Cheez-It Bowl.
Yeah, dude, that's
well, what I have to be completely honest. I didn't know that they renamed it from the Russell Athletic Bowl.
Yeah.
And so when you said Cheez-It Bowl, I thought that you were just like making jokes and it wasn't a real thing.
Yeah.
We are actually going to the Cheez-It Bowl.
I know. And, we're playing in a bowl named after Cheesy Crackers.
Oh, God. How confident are you heading into that game?
I have 0% confidence.
Yeah. I'll be – I mean, we have one bowl win since 06.
Yeah. So let me read off the ACC standings, though, to just – to drill my point home in the caliber of teams that we beat this year, okay? So we beat Pittsburgh. They're 6-5. We beat Virginia Tech. They're 5-6. We beat Virginia. They're 5-5. We beat Louisville. They're 4-7. We beat Florida State. They're 3-6. And we beat Duke. They're 2-9. Okay. And then we did beat NC State. They're 8-3.
That was solid. That was the most solid win of the year.
It was. I mean, they were playing their backup quarterback, but that was our best win.
Yeah.
But do you see where I'm getting at with that, though, is we beat, like, we beat two teams that were better than 500.
Yeah.
And so here's the thing is we can call the 8-2 an incomplete. I'm not ready to celebrate it, because here's the thing. If next year say that it's back to a regular schedule and we go 7-5 or 8-4, then I'm going to call this year fool's gold.
Yeah,
because we didn't beat any good teams. And so if we get to next year and, like, you know, it's like, oh, wow, we're barely better than 500 again, then I'm going to be like, well, then I guess last year wasn't a good year. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it makes 100% sense. It all depends on Derek King.
It does.
Whether or not he comes back. If he comes back, I think we can repeat the success that we had this year. If he doesn't. And this all also depends on, you know, if we can get another quarterback from the transfer portal, if King leaves. But even so, I mean, yeah, that kind of talent at quarterback is very, very rare.
He's legit. I mean, he's very good. Maybe I'm reading too far into this, but I feel like there's some things that are concerning in the fact absolutely. That after the UNC game, we again had, you know, a player say that not everyone was buying in. It's like, okay, Manny, what's the problem then? Because last year people weren't buying in. We had a drug problem in the QB room. We had people breaking curfew. We had people not even prepared for FIU, and we lost. And now, again, there's two different times where we have to say that there's players not buying in. At what point is the coach accountable for that? Because –
yeah, 100%.
Because guess what? Everyone is coaching 20-year-old guys, okay? 20-year-olds are idiots mostly. That's true. But guess what? Every college team is full of 20-year-olds, okay? So, like, that's not an excuse. It goes to how you manage people, you know? And like
– they follow the example of their leader.
Exactly. And do you want a hot take?
This podcast is built on hot takes.
Well, this is perhaps scorching. And here's one of my biggest concerns is you have this embarrassing loss, okay? You immediately go into a press conference and say, this loss was a great opportunity for all the kids that want to come play at Miami, which I hated that, dude. I hated that so much, because what that is that's politics. Like, that is such a political BS spin on a complete failure, you know? Like, mm-hmm. he's trying to turn his failure in this game into, you know, a positive, right? I hate it because it's easy to see through and it's stupid, and I feel sorry for anyone that bought into it. But what scares me is, you know who probably won't buy into that is Ed Reed.
Yeah.
Do you think Ed Reed is really walking away from this year where we only beat teams that were under 500 and he's thinking, yeah, that was a good season?
Well, I mean,
we got our cheeks clapped by any decent team that stepped on the field with us. but then we can beat teams under 500. I highly doubt that Ed Reed is walking away thinking that we're in a good spot.
I would be very, very surprised with Ed Reed now at the, like, kind of at the helm. Not really, but, like, he's very involved, obviously. I would be very, very surprised if some changes are not made to the staff.
Okay, well, I agree with that, but I will tell you this. I will not be surprised one iota if Ed Reed, if it's announced that Ed Reed is not going to continue being our chief of staff.
Yeah, I think that's a good point too. Because we have a
coach who's trying to sell us that we had a good year. Okay, and it's like 8-2 is cool, but if you really look into it, like it's cool if you're looking at the standings in a newspaper and don't have the internet. Mm-hmm. But if you do a quick Google search into who we beat or you watch the games, then you know that, like, we're barely beating these 500 teams.
There's a difference between thinking 8-2 is a start to where we could be and thinking 8-2 or even 8-1 is, oh, my God, the U is back. We are back to being national contenders. We could be in the playoff next year. And that's why I pride this podcast on saying that we have such a long way to go.
Yeah, we do.
If Ed Reed leaves, then we are in deep, deep trouble.
Yeah.
I
agree with you in saying that 8-2 is a good start, right? But here's the problem, and I'm gonna cut it pessimistic, just so nobody's surprised when we go 7-5 or 8-4 next year. And that's not my official prediction because we don't know who all is coming back. But your six best players are transfer guys. They're not guys that developed internally. Okay. Which is very concerning. I know that we can reload in the transfer portal, and that's fine and stuff. I'm not anti-transfer portal. But what I am anti is when you roll out a really bad team last year, and then the next season, not many of the guys improved. You had to bring in an influx of new talent to make our team better.
Yeah.
Okay. And most of these guys are going to be one and done. Jalen Phillips already declared for the draft. Quincy Roche already gone. Bubba Bolden could be gone. Brevin Jordan could be gone. Jose Borregales already declared for the draft. Okay, so we know that Lou Headley's coming back. I feel pretty strongly that De'Aaron King is coming back, which is fantastic. But think about that. We're losing our top guys, and we're barely beating 500 teams. So that, while I agree, 8-2, and this season was a good stepping stone, the foundation is leaving.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's getting certain guys out of the locker room and having them move on. I feel like Manny is trying to build a winning program. Like, I feel like his demeanor has changed a lot since last season. It may not get through to everybody. But I feel like that's just a waiting process. And I know that Canes fans hate to hear that. But that's just the way it is. Because you're going to have some guys that are so content. That's the biggest word that I take away from this year, is that what you just said, and that we're barely beating 500 teams and below 500 teams, we are content. And yeah. I think that the Ed Reed and the Manny Diaz, those two, and, you know, the Rhett Lash. I mean, Blake Baker – Here is the two biggest things that I take away from this season. I believe it was after the Virginia Tech game. Rhett Lashley said, we are nowhere near where we want to be, and along the lines of that. And Blake Baker said something. I mean, Holstrom said it on the last episode that Blake Baker said that ESPN should be paying him more or something like that.
Yeah.
And those – are the two biggest differences, is that Rhett Lashley is not content with this. Yeah. He wants more. And Blake Baker is fine with what's going on. And well, that's what happens. And then give up 62 points. Yeah, that's what happens.
Okay, I agree with you. But if that's how we're going to cut it, then let's extend it to Manny Diaz. What has he said? You know, because he's giving every excuse in the book. He's saying that these losses are great opportunities for recruits to come in and play. You know, he's giving – now granted, there was an article that came out that said that our coaches were hospitalized, you know, some players were struggling. And I know for a fact at least Todd Stroud was in the hospital, right?
Yeah.
And the other stuff could be true as well. So let's assume it is. But here's my question is, why are you playing the game then? I feel like the timing is a little convenient on that story.
It's also very inconvenient.
Yes. But, like, if you have guys that are, you know, just getting ready one day before the game, why didn't you cancel it? We didn't have anything to play for.
Yeah.
Because if we canceled the game, we're in the Orange Bowl.
I think it was the week before or immediately after the Duke game when you said, what's the point of playing the UNC game? And when stuff like that comes out after the game, like, why are we playing that game?
It just kind of comes across as an excuse when it comes out after, right?
Yes.
Like I'm not trying to belittle anybody's health trials, right? If it's legit, it's legit. And, you know, I'm not trying to say that they should toughen up or whatever. But if the health problems were that bad, the game should have been canceled. And it also would have made sense because there was nothing to play for. We'd be in the Orange Bowl right now if we canceled that game. And so why risk your staff and your team to get embarrassed on national TV and then play in the cheesy cracker bowl? Like, it's just stupid. It doesn't make any sense. There's not an ounce of logic in that idea.
Yeah. I mean, if we're taking all this like health concerns serious, then that proves to your point. I mean,
it just comes across as
that article say that we had it said that Stroud was hospitalized, Banda was hospitalized, Blake Baker was very sick. I think it said that. If that's the case, why would we play?
There's no reason. It doesn't even make sense. It doesn't make sense. And that's why I'm frustrated, right? Is because we know that Manny's a politician, right? So when this comes out after, I mean, he spins things like a politician. So when this comes out after, and we know how Manny does things, that he turns embarrassing failures into a great opportunity for everyone, and I did air quotes, it just feels disingenuous.
Yeah.
It really feels disingenuous. It feels like an excuse because that's what Manny has always given us. He's always blown smoke up our skirt. You know, coming up with all these different reasons why it didn't happen the way he wanted to. And, I mean, you know this. I've given Manny the benefit of the doubt all season.
Yeah.
Okay? And now my guard is up a little bit because we got embarrassed. He doesn't have the locker room under control, clearly. And he's making excuses about it. So I'm just saying, like, huh. Like, this is interesting because I'm not okay with the season we had. If our goal was to get to the ACC championship game, well, we didn't, again.
I mean, but also, if Notre Dame wasn't in the ACC, we would be in the conference championship game.
Yeah, we would have. That's true.
I know, I 100% agree with what you're saying, and I've said this before. I believe in Manny to take us to rebuild. I believe in Manny and his abilities to rebuild to you. I do not believe that Manny is the coach to make us a national championship contender.
Yeah.
I've said that. And Saturday against North Carolina fully proved that.
Yeah. I just worry because you did bring up a great point. What you said about the difference between Lashley and Baker is a very good point. But all I'm adding to that is if you read the receipts from Manny, he tends to talk a lot like Baker does.
Yeah.
And so if we're going to draw that distinction, then, you know, I think it needs to go top to bottom.
Yeah.
And it's like, if we're making excuses and we're telling kids, these 5-star kids, hey, I know we got embarrassed. That means that you can play next year. Like, that's weak. And I highly doubt that Ed Reed likes that.
But I also think that that was probably the best way to spin it when asked about recruiting. And after that kind of loss, you know, what else can you do? You can't come out and say, oh God. Oh shit.
I get it. I think
it was just a bad loss.
Maybe he just poorly worded it and that's fine, you know, but I just don't. I think Manny, Manny shouldn't have been happy with this year. I mean, he knows.
He should. He could have been. I there's like, no way to feel content or satisfied. You should not feel satisfied after this year.
No, like he should have in his press conference after that game. He should have said, "Look, we went 8-2. However, we got embarrassed by the two best teams we played. So that tells us that we are not ready to sit at the big boy table yet. We are the king of the children's table right now.
Yeah.
But we are not ready to make the move." And he should say, "That's not acceptable to me because I am here to move us to the big boy table. And clearly we're not ready yet."
You should say that our star safety shouldn't be saying Bama ain't ready for us. Oh, you give up 62 goddamn points.
Yeah.
God, Jordan, you're making me angry.
Well, I'm bringing up good points.
No, you are. You are. No one wants to hear it. And you know what? You know what the worst part is that they're 100% true. Any Canes fan that is satisfied with this kind of season and that is the last showing, hopefully if we can beat Oklahoma State and get a bowl win, I will 100% feel a lot better about this season, because a bowl win, you know, it speaks volumes in my opinion. But still, that's
– Yeah, and you know, I just have to take a minute. I got to pat myself on the back here and tell everyone I told you so. But what have I been saying about our defense all year? And people called me pessimistic and a Debbie Downer and a negative Nancy and whatever. They've told me that I don't know football. They told me everything, and I've repeatedly said – when we play a good offense, we will get absolutely smashed on defense. Yeah. You know, I said we are soft up the middle. We are going to give up hundreds of rushing yards. You know, like
I don't think you had 557 rushing yards in mind.
No, I didn't. It was much worse than I anticipated.
that couldn't have. It was so bad.
Yeah, I've been saying that since the UAB game. I was like, ugh, it just makes me mad. So I'm wagging my finger at all you people that have constantly been in my mentions telling me I'm an idiot.
Yeah, whoever calls, like, because I feel like we've been very, very honest on this
podcast. Oh, yeah.
And I feel like you and I have both been able to see some of the predictions that we had come to fruition, good or bad.
Yep.
And hopefully one of my predictions is that we have a new defensive coordinator next season. We have a new cornerbacks coach. And if we don't, as God is my witness, if Blake Baker is our defensive coordinator next season, then Manny Diaz is not the right guy. I'm sorry. But if you can allow that performance and not see it in your damn mind and your eyes to not make a change, then you are not the person, and you don't – you're spineless, and you're not a winner. I'm a winner. I would have made the change 2 hours after, so.
I have a question for you, though, and I want brutal honesty once again. So, like, how ridiculous is it to think – that story, which was put out by a Miami columnist, was leaked to the press on purpose with the intent of having an excuse to not change staff.
150%. But I will say, actually, about a minute or two after we started recording, someone messaged me. Someone close to the program said that Manny might be looking for a new DC.
Okay.
So that is, and I'm not trying to, you know, blow smoke up on anyone's asses, but, and I'm not trying to say, oh, this is coming.
Yeah.
But no, that's a good question.
Yeah. Also, let's frame it this way as well. Okay. Ephraim Banda is a coaching candidate at Utah State. Okay. So let's say two things happen, right? Let's say Ed Reed, you know, as I said, is a possibility, and I'm not going off of inside info here. I'm just – this is logical, right? Like, it just doesn't – this didn't seem like the type of thing that Ed Reed would be pumped about to me. I honestly feel it coming. I don't know if it'll happen or not. If I'm wrong, I hope I do. I just kind of feel like there's possibility that he could be like, yeah, that was fun for a year, but I'm moving on now. If that happens, if Banda leaves, you know, Manny could move Stroud back to chief of staff. We bring in a guy to replace those two. And then he says, okay, we made changes on the defensive staff. You know, you know, he said that was inexcusable. Okay, we've made some changes now. But really, he just replaced Banda and Stroud. Didn't fire anyone, though.
Yeah.
Because Stroud was originally hired to be the chief of staff. And then that one dude.
If there's one defensive coach I keep on defense, it's Stroud.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love Stroud. You know, he can be with the program as long as he wants. I'm just saying he was originally hired to be chief of staff, and then Jess Simpson left to the Atlanta Falcons, and we slid him into that defensive line spot. So that would make sense, right, with his health problems, getting COVID. You know, if the chief of staff spot came open again, it wouldn't surprise me if Stroud moved off of the sideline. But I worry about that. I don't want the spin from Manny this year. I don't want the spin.
I just want honesty.
Well, I don't think we're going to get it, dude.
From Manny.
No. And you know what? I've defended the dude all year. I'm not ready to fire him. I'll tell you what, though. If next year we hear one time the players aren't buying in, I'm done.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Just one strike. He gets no chances next year.
If it's your third year and players are still not buying in, then maybe they're not buying into you. How about you think about that, Manny?
Yeah, exactly. And so if maybe that they're happens,
not buying, maybe you are not painting a clear enough picture of what you want in this program.
Exactly. Exactly. If we cannot get the kids to buy in, if I hear it once, if someone even implies that players aren't buying in, I'm done. I just am done. Because that is just inexcusable.
You're not done with the podcast, right?
No, I'll still do it. Because here's the thing, and this is where I am removing some of the blame from Manny, right? Is this has been a problem for 15 years. It has been a problem for 5 head coaches. You know, it started, I don't know the exact origins, but we saw it under Larry Coker, Randy Shannon, Al Golden, Mark Richt, Manny Diaz now. Okay, so 5 coaches, over 1,000 players. I mean, think of some of the conversations that we've had from previous players that played in all of those eras. You know, we talked to one player on this podcast who said that Larry Coker got fired because we weren't buying in. Well, he didn't say we weren't buying in. What he said was we weren't doing enough. And Coker took the blame. That was our fault. You know, so clearly it's
imagine not doing enough at the University of Miami.
But that's what I'm saying, though. And we saw exactly how it happened with Mike Hardley's. Dude, I feel like that crazy dude like from Always Sunny in Philadelphia with all the red ribbon right now. But
I know exactly who you're talking about.
The meme. I'm even doing the hand gestures right now.
A+ reference.
Thank you.
Oh, God, that's good.
But Mike Harley even said, he's like, we're not staying after practice. We're not doing this. And I've said this on multiple platforms, but I'm going to reiterate it, okay? If you are a freshman, you know, let's say that Romello Brinson comes in next year and he's at his first practice, you know, practice ends and the wide receivers are leaving and he's like, well, let's stay and do extra. And they're like, no, we don't do that. I've never done that.
Or if he's the only one doing it, him and the freshman.
How long is that gonna last? You know, like that's the thing is that's why I'm very hesitant to say that a recruiting class will fix the culture, because how long, even if those kids have it, right? They have the moxie, they have all the words from the 1930s that are like that, like. How long does that last before they're like, I'm really the only dude staying after practice to work harder? You know, like
how long does it last until they're content with just
exactly. And that's what I'm saying. If all of their peers are acting like that, if they're saying, no, we don't do that. We don't have to. No one's ever made us do that. You know, no one's ever expected us to do that. No one's ever held us accountable for not doing extra because it's my fourth year here. I'm the starter. They're not taking reps away from me, and I've never done anything extra.
Oh, that – oh.
So what is the
– Why are we posting our highlights after – like personal highlights after the UNC game? Why are we doing
that? And by that, I mean I didn't see anything – There was nothing worth posting that game, and I wish the players felt like that. Like, I don't care. Like, I don't care if some of them had an Odell Beckham catch or
played. If that's the last game that you played, who gives a shit about your highlights? If anybody is saying anything about your highlights after that, bro. And can I ask you something?
Yeah.
And I said this on my show with Toast this morning. Cam Harris, tweets. About that, how he's making a decision on January 1st, 2021. Why can't you just not tweet it? Hey, how you don't tweet it? Why don't you just come out and make a decision? Why you don't even have like you don't have 600 yards? Why is your decision so goddamn important, bro? I was losing my mind when I saw that. Like, yeah. Why? I don't know. Sorry. I just had to.
No, you're fine. Because that's the thing.
I pulled out some hair saying that.
that's the thing, though. It's like.
You're so obsessed with yourself. Worry about the team. And I'm not saying, like, Jalen Phillips didn't say, hey, I'll be making a decision, so-and-so. De'Aaron King is not making a decision, so-and-so.
Yeah. I don't know what happened, man. And there's. I don't want to just point fingers at Cam, and I know you're not that type of dude either,
it's that kind of stuff.
Agreed. I just wanted to clarify that. Like, we're on the same page with that. You know, and it's like, would you post highlights from that UNC game? Because in my, like, how I grew up, you know how bad my dad would clown me if I... tried to brag about what happened in a blowout loss.
Bro, if I posted my personal highlights after a game, my dad would have said, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, Dude, I
can't even imagine. My dad would probably just make me go in the backyard and dig like a 12-foot hole. Like, just to let me know how big of an idiot I am. You know? He's like, why would you... I don't know, man. I just didn't grow up like that.
And maybe it's because I didn't. Maybe it's because I wasn't a phenomenal athlete. But that's beside the point. But still, like I didn't grow up like that. I wasn't brought up like that. I care just so much more about what my team is doing and what the people around me who are helping me succeed are doing.
Yeah,
but I still wouldn't post highlights because then like back to my a point that I made earlier in the show, that's just showing that you're kind of content.
Yeah.
Like just stop. Just stop and worry about the damn team. And I know I'm cursing a lot on this episode, but I think you bring it out of me. I think we bring it out of each other.
I feel it's
stupid and it's so childish and it's so look at me.
Yeah. I feel like I've been screaming into the void this whole season. Just like a win is not a win.
No.
It's not in college football. You know why? Because five teams finish undefeated every year. Okay? It's not the NFL. In the NFL, a win is a win. You know why? It's because, like, tiebreakers aren't an issue because there's only 30 teams. You know what I mean? There's not a committee that selects playoff teams. It comes down to wins. Okay, so there a win is a win, right? But you know, if you're barely beating 500 teams and you're like, huh, why are they keeping us at 10th? Why are they putting two lost teams over us? All that kind of stuff. It's because a win is not a win. I will repeat.
Yeah, you wonder why we're not rising in the playoff rankings? You want to bitch and moan about this? That's why.
A win is not a win. If you are barely beating a 5-6 team by 1 point, guess what? Nobody cares. Nobody's impressed. Nobody's going to pat you on the back. Nobody wants to see your highlights. They're 5-6. Don't pretend like you're going to get into the playoff if you're beating a bunch of 5-6 teams barely.
And don't say disrespect when the playoff rankings still have you at 9 or 10 and then you give up 62. Okay. Right. Okay. Can we move to a positive side? I think I'm about to have an aneurysm.
Dude, honestly, every 3 days I've just had like mood swings and I'll just start ranting about this since the UNC game. That was embarrassing, dude. Yeah, we can switch it up. But I'm so frustrated. And I'm
it's very, and I don't blame you one iota. Anybody who wasn't disgusted and wanted to go vomit after that game, you're a loser.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but you're and all the fans that were patty caking this and saying, "Oh, don't be so negative." You know what? That's the reason that this program has fallen to the depths of hell. Not that we're in the depths of hell, but before this, you guys are the reason because you are so content with saying, "Oh, don't be so negative. You know, we'll get them next game." When we don't get them next game, and it just makes me so angry. You know,
here's the thing. Here's my last thing, okay? And it's on being content. And I want to give you two names, okay? Mark Richt and Bronco Mendenhall. Those are two coaches who got fired because they only went 10-2 every year. Okay? So if you can't look in the mirror and say, "I demand more excellence than BYU and University of Georgia," that's where you are as a fan.
Yeah.
Okay? Because Bronco Mendenhall went 10-2 every year. Mark Richt went 10-2 every year. Okay? And they got fired for it.
My last point is, hey, Manny, if you don't get a new defensive coordinator, you can have fun joining Blake Baker on the unemployment line in the future.
Yeah.
So okay, but anywho, Jake Garcia is a Miami Hurricane.
Yes. Kudos to you, Marshall. I'm glad that you got a lot of love for that. That made me smile, man, because, you know, it's –
I won't lie, man. I'm not like I don't want to put it out there that I'm the kind of guy that I like the clout or whatever. But that I won't lie.
It had to feel good.
That was really cool,
dude. And you know what? Like, I'm glad you got some because, like, clearly, you know, you and Endo Canes. Shout out to our guy. Or Endo Gaines. Endo really, Gaines. Cole.
One of my favorite people on Twitter and in the Canes fam.
Yes. Very good dude. So you and him got that started, and clearly it did something. Like, I don't care what anyone says. They cannot say that didn't help because Jake Garcia reposted that. He reposted you, and now he's using the Tristan Lee to the U hashtag. So clearly it did something, right? So I'm glad. I'm really glad that you got the notoriety from doing that, because clearly it was a thing.
Yeah, I mean it was it took a while, man. It ended up until the last hour of early signing day, and but it felt really good, and it was really cool to see the reaction. I have a GIF now, which is dope. that my boy Canes Cartel made, so shout out. But yeah, it was just really cool, and you could tell that Jake is really, really excited to be a Miami Hurricane, and all the love that he got was awesome. But also besides him, I mean, James Williams, Leonard Taylor, Romello Brinson, all these guys are Miami, like they are going to be on Green Tree in a matter of, depending on who's an early enrollee, in a matter of a few weeks.
Yeah.
That is so crazy. And to the 2021 class, make your own chapter. Like,
yes,
make this your team, create your culture that you envision for the U. Don't go off of what guys in the 80s, guys in the early 2000s did. Make it your team. And let's bring your shit back, okay?
Yes. And you know, I just – my message to those kids – and, well, first of all, I shoot it straight. I have been ranting and being negative for the first 43 minutes of this podcast. But I will say, what a friggin' class. I am so happy with it. Like, I gave it – if we would have gotten a cornerback, I would have given it an A+. I gave it an A-. It's amazing. 2 5-stars, that hasn't happened in a long time. You know, we got our QB, so happy with it. But to echo what you're saying, in like write a new chapter, I just want to share the story who gave it to us. I think it was it Dan Cilio? Might have been.
I wasn't on that show.
Yeah, but someone told us a story of Michael Irvin and George Myra Jr. Okay, where in the film room, Irvin didn't like something that George Myra was doing, so he walked up out of nowhere, punched him in the face, and knocked his teeth out. Okay, like that might not fly.
Dude, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, like that might not fly these days. Okay, but what I will say is, if you're seeing dudes slack in practice, if you are seeing this bad culture that is ruining our team, I'm just throwing it out there. Like, write your own chapter. These kids have to decide to make a change. And you know what? When I first heard that, I thought, wow, that kind of makes Michael Irvin seem like a douche. But now, you know, I don't know what George Myra did. Is that his name? Is it George Myra Jr.? I think that's...
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know what he did. But you know what? If it's stuff like not putting in extra work, you know, not giving it 110% to make the team better, then I'm all for it, you know, especially when we're just celebrating so hard about losing to the only good teams we play.
Yeah.
I mean, that firmly put us in our place as a program. I'm ranting again. Okay, I gotta center myself.
You're good, man. You're good. And yeah. I know. I mean, I haven't followed recruiting for a very long time, but it seems to me that a guy like James Williams, a kid, and the duo of James Williams and Jay Garcia, seems like the kind of guys that I want to build my program around.
Yes.
And that's what makes me so damn excited about this class is that these kids, they know nothing but winning. Uh-huh. Keep it that way.
Yeah. And you know, like, we said a lot of the same stuff about the class last year, and I still believe it. I'm not out on those guys. So, but now we have half the team that has that attitude, right? We got half of the team, 2 full recruiting classes of guys that have the attitude that we love. So let's see a change now. You know?
Yeah. Like, if you know nothing but winning in your life, keep it that way. You know what it takes to win, keep it that way.
Yep. So to the true freshmen on this team, the class of 20, and now the incoming true freshmen, the class of 21, like, it's time to change the culture, and you guys need to do it. You know? Like, if your position group isn't staying after practice, or they're not buying in or whatever, like, one of you needs to lead and get everybody else in line.
Yeah. Oh, I'm excited about this class, man.
Yeah, me too. It's a great class.
I think that there's going to be some changes to the defensive side of the ball. I'm very, very happy that I'm not guaranteeing that. I think we can all agree that Lashley will be here next season, along with Coach Justice and Coach Likens, Coach Hickson. I love our offensive staff. Let's build that same attitude on the defensive side of the ball that is so fine and dandy with being whatever. Let's keep – I mean, we can talk about this UNC game all we want. But at the end of the day, I want to make it clear that while I'm not satisfied with this season, I do like the general direction of where the U is headed. I'm excited to see what will come next season. And I'm excited about this program. And I haven't said that many times as a Miami Hurricane fan, but I'm excited about where this program is headed and what we could accomplish. And for the 2021 kids and also the 2020 kids, like, you've seen what can break a locker room and what can make a locker room. Keep it in the positive direction. Let's bring this shit back, man. I like winning. South Florida likes winning. When we're winning, there is no place like the U. And when we're losing, there is no place like the U. But when this program is on the up and up, there's no program like it. Yeah. And so, guys, let's just – we are all sick and tired of losing. Like, we are sick and tired of making – like, Jordan and I are sick and tired of being pessimistic and negative on this show.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that way. Yep. I want to be confident as hell heading into Saturdays.
Yeah, I'm right, tired.
That's like my motivational speaker.
No, you're fine. I mean, you're right. I am tired of going into games like Virginia Tech where they are 500. Okay, they finish as a 500 team, and saying, man, this is going to be a game where Canes fans are pissed after because it's going to be a very tight game and we're going to barely pull it off. That's what I predicted. That's what happened. Okay, I'm tired of that. They're a 500 team. Okay, and you can say, yeah, they're a rival. Okay, well, how about Pitt? How about NC State? How about UVA? You know, like, let's just win. You know, how good did Duke feel? I mean, I didn't say anything.
And that should feel normal.
Duke. Yeah, I didn't say anything negative after Duke. What was there to say negative? There was nothing. We blanked them. That can't happen every week, but, you know, you can win every week convincing. Yep. Hey, what about, you know, Florida State? You can do that to bad teams. I don't care if they're rival. They're what, 3-7, 3-6? That's how we should beat 3-6 teams. Every team that is 3-6 or worse on our schedule, we should beat how we beat Florida State.
I've liked this episode.
Me too.
I'm tired of it. Yeah.
I mean, this is good. I'm tired of the pom poms for mediocrity. I don't care. Like,
as we've seen on social media, we're just pom pom fanboys.
Oh yeah, clearly. And you know what? We're not as big of fans as the people who hold this program to a lesser standard as BYU, who fired their coach for winning 10 games every year.
All those people can kiss my ass.
You know, they probably look at that.
I'm sorry, but like, that's just how I feel, man.
Yeah. But that's the thing, though, is like, dude, Georgia moved on from Mark Richt after 20 years of being one of the probably seven best coaches in the country. 20 straight years of that, they moved on from him because they're like, you know what? We're not happy winning 10 games anymore, Mark. We're going to move on because we want to win the big one.
Yeah.
You know, you can't win.
I'm done. Like, I'm 26 years old, but in as a football fan, I'm more like 50 years old. I'm done with this kind of stuff.
Yeah. And so I'm going to set to keep it 100. I'm going to set my expectations for next year, okay? Because we did make a little bit of progress. I expected more progress. You know why? Because last year was arguably the worst season in Miami Hurricanes history. And so I wanted more than a baby step, right? Because this season, to me, was a baby step in the right direction. Because all we did was start winning close games. And that's what we should be doing. Clearly, that was too much last year. We figured it out. Okay, but that's a baby step. So my expectations is that... the baby step would be being competitive against good teams. Okay. The baby step would be losing to Clemson by 2 scores, losing to North Carolina by 2 scores. Okay. I want a little bit more than that. I think we need to go 500 again. I think we need to go 500 against good teams next year.
We sure as hell better.
Yeah. I don't want to be like, oh, yeah, you know, North Carolina, who's okay, they're 8-3. But, yeah, we lost to them by 40. 40 points.
And it was 8-3 team. Like, more than that. Like, I know what the scoreboard says, but we might as well have lost to them by 60.
Dude, honestly, it didn't even matter.
Our house. And dropped 62 points and 800 yards of offense. and 557 yards of rushing. They came into our house and did that.
So I have a question, because, you know, one of the things that I'm good at is reading momentum and body language when I watch sports.
Yeah.
At what point in the stadium, because I wasn't there, I was watching it on TV. At what point was it for you that you realized we were in trouble? Because for me, it was that first touchdown drive. Literally the first drive they had, six plays, touchdown.
Was it when, for me, it was when Zach McLeod pumped his fist after giving up a first down. For me, it was that.
I didn't see that, and also
when DJ Ivy got an interception and we didn't, and we had like 13 players on the field, we just didn't look prepared. We didn't look disciplined. I'm sick and tired of this BS, bro.
Yeah.
Like I want winners on the field. I don't want winners on social media. I don't want winners on Instagram Live. I could give a rat's ass about that. I want winners on the field. I want winners who are beating good teams. I don't care about beating a junior college Florida State team. Like that, just like you said, that is the minimalist of baby steps. And you know what? Yeah. We celebrate that FSU win. That FSU team beat UNC.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And you know, it's fine to celebrate that win because it was a fun win. But like, I'm not hanging my, you can't hang your hat on it. Yep. They were three and six at the end of the day. So you can't hang your hat on it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you. I'm right there with you, man. Like they did, they beat UNC. Okay. So I would be interested to total up the scores of those two games. And, between us and FSU and see who scored more points.
Yeah.
Or like to tally the three games and see who scored the most points.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Okay. Well, what else do we have to go over?
I can't remember. I think we got everything. I think
it was a great class. You know what? Hats off to Manny for bringing in that class and keeping that class.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I
you
was.
You know what? The class isn't done yet.
Yeah, it's not. We could still land a guy or two. You know, we got the Tristan Lee to the U hashtag going. You know, let's hope it works, man. I mean, he's been flirting with Miami for a long time.
Yeah. Absolutely. And you know what? You never know about Terrence Lewis. I know people are sick and tired of hearing that name, but
yeah, he wants in.
He does.
It's very obvious from Twitter. No inside info needed, but that kid wants to play at Miami. So,
yeah. So we'll see, man. We'll see. What do we have to go over anything else? I really liked this episode.
I did too. I think we should probably record again before Oklahoma State.
Oh, 100%.
And do a preview. You know, but I mean, they're going to miss Chuba Hubbard. He's not going to play. I mean, obviously, we're going to miss Roche and Phillips. Yeah. So, you know, I guess it's kind of even. Like, I don't want to discount anything we do by saying that's good for our run defense, though, right?
Yeah.
Not having to play against the best running back in college, he might have gone for 2,000 yards. Just
his draft stock may have skyrocketed to going number 3 overall.
Right. He actually, like, it might raise his draft stock so high that, like, he just ends up starting for the Buffalo Bills next week.
Hey, you know what? I got to give you props, man. I doubted the Bills. They might be the best team in the NFL.
Yeah, dude.
I'm happy for you.
Thank you. I was hyping. I was tooting the Josh Allen for MVP horn very hard early in the season, and he's making me look good now. So, I mean, he won't win it. What was that?
You look wonderful, not just on here, but in life in general.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, I still think the Chiefs are the team to beat. They manhandled the Bills pretty good about 6 or 7 weeks ago. But I agree with you. I think the Bills are playing the second best football on planet Earth right now.
They are so hot right now.
Yeah.
I mean,
Hansel.
Crazy. But yeah, yep.
So hot right now.
Definitely do a preview before Oklahoma State. But just before we go, want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho. Spend time with your family. Spend time with your loved ones. Can't thank you guys enough for the support that y'all have given us over this past year. It has been, goddamn, it has been a crazy year. Yeah. And you know what? Take some time to enjoy the good things in life. Not giving up 600 yards of rushing to UNC, but don't worry about sports so much.
Yeah.
I can worry about it because it's my job, because I have to talk about it every day at 6 a.m. Yeah. Also, you know, subscribe to 4th and 20 with Toast and Marsh.
Yeah.
But you know what? Take some time off. Don't worry about recruiting as much. Don't worry about all this crap. But listen to this and then don't worry.
I'm going to have to take a Xanax after recording this, because I just – dude, every single time I've talked about this UNC game, I just have gone – I've pretty much combusted. Like, I've gone up in flames, and I just need to be hosed off after. And I'm just – I'm feeling it again, man. I'm just so – ugh. I want to slap everyone that's, like, happy about this year.
But, man, if we can beat Oklahoma State, ooh, I'll be very happy.
Yes, if we get a ranked win, then you know what? I will – like, that changes things, right?
Yeah.
Because right now
– we'll be a lot more popular.
We went 0-2 against ranked teams. Wait, no, Louisville was ranked. Louisville was ranked when we beat them. They did end up 4-7, so
– that's crazy.
Yeah, so I don't really want to toot that horn too much. But if we beat Oklahoma State – it does change things. It softens the blow. And it's like, okay, we went 2-2 against ranked teams. Yes, one of them ended up 4-7. But next year, you know, we need to do better.
Yeah. Don't settle.
Don't settle.
Stop settling. Okay. All right. Any last thoughts?
No, dude. It was really fun doing this again. It's been a minute. It was a nice little break. But yeah, I love doing this, man. It was fun.
And I apologize because I should be better at doing this, and we're gonna get back on our normal recording schedule, but with family coming into town and this new job so early in the morning, I still can't get over how early it is. The fact that there are times when I am waking up for my job and you are still awake back in Utah.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Yeah. It's pretty lame.
But we're going to get back on the normal schedule, and off season is our best season on this podcast.
It is. We dominate the off season.
We love the off season. Okay. All right. Well, on that note, we love you guys. Merry Christmas. Go have fun with your family and friends, and as always, go Canes.
Yep, go Canes, and buy your loved ones a holiday 6-pack from the Tank Brewing.
Yeah, or a 12-pack.
Yes, whatever.
Go Canes.
Okay, go Canes.
This has been the Forza Podcast.